Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, pulling back that curtain on waste, fraud, abuse, public government misconduct, and all other social issues that are affecting our community. I'm Eric A. Sinati. Eric Sinati. Who?
Eric A. Sinati, of course.
With a very big A. Also Eric Andrew Sinati, right here on your iHeart radio station. I'm accompanied by the on-air vocalist, my co-host, Miss Bianca C. S-E-A, like the
Bianca C, that's me. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm ready and going.
Ready? You're ramped up. You're ramped
up. I am. I had some espresso today, so I am so up right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, today's going to be a good one because I think that you will have some great input on this show today.
Thank you. Oh, this
is sweet. The hostiles, and we confront a lot of issues. Now, I confront a lot of issues that tend to poke the bear. I don't see it as myself poking the bear. I see it as calling it what it is and telling you what you want to hear and what the people want to hear. That's why our ratings and our numbers are so good. Again, they call it the legacy media because, let's be real, their legacy, they don't tell you anything. They tell you what they're scripted to tell you. They're more worried about a commercial. Yes, you get commercials here, but you get, you know, what the minimum of what you need to get by.
Yeah,
so we are going to hit an uncomfortable truth, and we're going to hit it head on. And I think you as a woman and as a Latina should appreciate today's topic. My executive producer, Carrie, as a woman, I'm sure you might want to have some feedback in on this too. Good morning, Carrie. Good afternoon. Good evening, whatever it might be.
Oh, it's very early in the morning here.
Do you think? Oh, boy. All right. So anyway, let's get into it. So today we're going to tackle a contentious issue. Seriously, it's a contentious issue.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's at the heart of the current federal policy. Now, before we get any further, everybody knows that we have a new President Donald J. Trump, who is the 47th president of the United States. And when you have a new president, they change it. They change policy directions. They sign executive orders, which say, I hereby, with the authority of my pen, the stroke of the pen, as the president can alter government agencies. And what did they do? So with executive order 14168, the title of this executive order 14168 is called Defending Women from Gender Ideology Extremism and Restoring Biological Truth to the Federal Government. That is the exact title, folks. I'm going to reread it. Presidential Executive Order 14168, entitled Defending Women from Gender Ideology Extremism and Restoring Biological Truth to the Federal Government. This was signed immediately on January 20th, 2025. Now, for our very engaged listeners and viewers, they know that that means that was the exact day that President Trump was sworn into office. So he wasted no time effecting this order.
Means like any papers saying it's the gender of boy and girl.
You got the idea. Yes. He basically is doing something. He's defining that there are two genders. There is no extra gender. However controversial you may see it, I know that when we air anything on YouTube, they're going to swipe me out. So you're not going to get me. You're going to have to get me on iHeart, iTunes, Spotify, or your FM dial. Mm-hmm. But it's going to get weeded out because we're going to say what it is. There are two genders. you know, again, I went to Catholic school, not bringing religion in, but they didn't teach me anything more than what biology mm-hmm. and biblical and how the two intersect.
Right.
There are two sexes. There's a male and a female. This comes down to chromosomes. It comes down to XY chromosomes. You know, you either are, you know, a male or a female. It's that simple. Now, there are some exceptions to the rule. There are people who are legitimately born with both sexual organs, known as a hermaphrodite, you know, or people that may at very early lean more towards a certain mannerisms of a particular gender. Mm-hmm. But there is only really two. There's only two are going to reproduce. You know what I mean? Only one is going to. There's only two that's going to make this reproduction process happen.
Yeah, basically only
you need sperm and an egg.
Yeah, only a woman can give birth,
and only a man is going to give you the sperm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right, Carrie? Am I saying that? Or am I going to get weeded out here, Carrie? Am I all right so far?
You know, when you speak the truth,
yeah,
then people don't want to listen to it. But yes, there are two genders, a boy and a girl, period.
Right. And we at no time, and stay with us if you want, Carrie, we at no time are saying people that live an alternative lifestyle, that they, who you love and choose to love and spend the rest of your life with, I truly, honestly, and again, anybody that listens to the show, watches the show, know that I fall on the conservative Republican side. Mm-hmm. But, you know, It's 2025. I don't really care who you love,
right?
And who you want to be in a relationship with, that's on you. But as was discussed in the pre-show meeting, you know, not everything needs to be up out in your grill, in your face,
right?
And I think a parent, an employer, or anybody there else, and feel free to jump in either one of you guys. They need to have that definition. Mm-hmm. They need to know a definition. It's like, and then you cut me off because I'm c-holing here. It's like this new Common Core math. Carrie, you probably know more about that, I think, than I do, because I'm out of that. But you know about this new Common Core math where you do an entire sheet of paper now to get to the same thing that we did when we were in school that took two lines. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with that, Carrie?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Carrie's not math. Old enough.
Neither am I. I just hear about it and I dread the thought of one day having to sit with my child and try to figure. I could listen. I still can't count.
I'm hiring a tutor.
I still can't count to this day. Now, you want me to solve and help with a social issue? You want me to help legislate and create a law? You want me to read a court case and shepherdize research? And you want me to cite in Iraq the case, Iraq? Rule, issue, rule, analysis, conclusion. Please don't think I meant Iraq. Iraq, IRAC, issue, rule, analysis, conclusion. It's a basic law school lawyer process. You want me to do those things? I can do it. Don't bring me Common Core, man. Anyway, I fell into a C-hole. So with that, we're going to take a short break and come right back. Minus the C-hole, we're going to get right to the topic. Don't go anywhere.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sean Kelly, founder of Project 201. Right now, too many of our kids are falling through the cracks, and here at Project 201, we're stepping in with mentorship, sports, and life skills. But we need your help. Your donation isn't just a gift, it's an investment into our youth and their future. With your support, we can keep them off the streets, in school, and on the path to success. Become a donor, mentor, or sponsor today, and let's change lives together. You can visit our website, 201sports.org, to make your impact now, and or give me a call here at 201-725-5062. Mentorship through sports, changing lives one at a time.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Hostile Zone. Eric A. Sinati and Miss Bianca C-S-E-A. Right here on the Hostile Zone on iHeartRadio, your FM dial, and your favorite podcast platform. So prior to the break, we were discussing this executive order mm-hmm. that was signed by the Trump administration on the 20th of January, the day he was sworn in. In summary, it's basically defining the federal government is recognizing two genders or sexes, male and female, based solely on biological attributes. This is a directive that has ignited strong national debate on both sides. So it is necessary step to preserve the traditional definitions, but does it undermine the rights and identities of the transgender and non-binary individuals? That's kind of what we're gonna discuss a little bit. Okay. We're gonna dissect the multifaceted implications of this executive order, exploring the perspectives from the legal challenges to the societal impacts. Okay. So we. On the Hostile Zone, you're with Eric A. Sinani. We're going to engage in facts, fact-based, and we're going to dissect the issue within this one-hour time frame as best we can. We're going to try to give you the perspective general of what's going on, not telling you what your opinion should be, but just giving you the knowledge. You're going to get the legal, public, administrative side from me, the political side, and Miss Bianca and Carrie will jump in with the, you know,
yeah, John, my opinion.
The John Q public, and I don't mean to minimize you like that, but I mean like the people that are not really in the political and law game. Mm-hmm. But we always have to start off with our relevant, famous quote. So, justice is the constant and perpetual to allot every man his due. Justice is consistent, is constant. I'm sorry, typo in my head. Swipe that out. Justice is constant and perpetual and will allot to every man his due. Very interesting comment. Justice is constant and perpetual and will allot every man, and I guess every woman, because nowadays, his due. And a lot of times when they use man, they mean mankind, humankind, mankind. So,
can you explain that in layman's terms? You know, just in case the audience does.
Well, just meaning justice is persistent, meaning it's there, perpetual. It is there. It's going to continue, and it's going to push forward. And the purpose is to allot every individual their due moment, their due time. Did I explain that well, Carrie?
Actually, you did, and that's really good.
Thank you. I tried. I'm not even going to go into the author of that title because then it'll go into a whole other conversation. So let's get into the talking points and statistical discussion of this.
Sure.
Number one, the scope and provisions of Executive Order 14168. The order directs all federal agencies to enforce laws based on binary understanding of sex, explicitly recognizing only male and female determined by biological attributes. So in regular discussion terms, they are saying there's male and female, and
yes,
you are going to be recognized by what's on your birth certificate and by what, and that would be from the attributes that you were born with. Now, again, I'm sure there's going to be some provisions to this for truly reassigned people, you know, like I said, that were maybe a hermaphrodite or truly are reassigned another gender. And then there's a process for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot more than slapping on some lipstick and, you know, putting blush on and dressing in women's clothes or vice versa, men, a woman dressing. I mean, there is biological things that have to occur, obviously, sexual organs. And I don't know all the specificity of this legal order, Ms. Bianca.
Okay.
And Carrie, if you know anything more, you let me know too.
I'm sure it's like really simple.
I'm sure it is.
This thing has to be so simple.
It seems simple.
They want to make it simple, and that's it. Because I feel like when you're filling out paperwork in the government, it's already confusing as it is.
Right.
And when it comes to that box.
Yeah, the pronoun box.
They're trying to make it simple.
I mean, I see paperwork. I fill out government paperwork all the time, and it says, what do you identify as? And then, you know, you male, female, non-binary, and then also what pronoun do you want to go by? He, she, him, her, there, that, or whatever. That's your choice, but I don't think that belongs on a job application.
Yeah, it doesn't define of what you do.
I think that this is where DEI, diversion, equity, and inclusion, they lost their position. They lost their stance because it's like you were saying, you must give this job to somebody because they fall into that realm, you know, of being diversified, inclusion, you know, I don't know, equity. I don't, you know, you feel what I'm saying here?
Yeah, like, I do feel.
And I feel that it makes it more difficult. If you got a job on the merits, mm-hmm. Now, I don't care what you are. I don't care what you are.
Right.
Let's get to air traffic controllers and pilots. They were talking about that, you know, several times, especially when there was some air disasters recently, on who was flying and who shouldn't be flying, and were they a DEI hire. I don't really care if they were a DEI hire, as long as they
as long as
they
you know how to fly a plane. Yeah.
I mean,
who cares if you're male or female to fly a plane? As long as you have the skills,
and
that's all that matters.
And the federal government has consistently forever, if you want, it was called the spoils system.
Okay.
The spoils system is when the government were patronage jobs. When you get a new administration comes in, a new elected person, they get to fill their friends and people into positions. They get to pick. That's what it's called, the spoil system. Then we moved into the civil service of government, where you took an exam. But even then, veterans, disabled veterans, certain minorities, certain groups of people do get preference for jobs. But that has been the system, and that has been successful in a lot of areas. Unsuccessful in a lot of areas. We're not going to dive too deep. I think, and I don't want to be biased here, but I think the veteran population and the disabled veteran population truly deserve that extra push. If, you know, being in that community myself, if you truly have the requisite to hold that position, right? I mean, you should be able, I mean, you sing.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be, I mean, it's great that you're a woman and a Latina, so that does maybe open extra venues for you to sing at, but you have to sing, right? You have to know how to sing.
Yes.
You have to be good.
Right.
You know, you have to have that ability to get up there and grab the mic. And as anybody that listens to the show or whatever, they know you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really doesn't matter. And I know they always say what you look like and stuff, but what was it? Was it Adele? Or who was that one? Hey, Carrie, who was the one that was on American Idol that she just, or was maybe a Britain, that just had the incredible, beautiful voice? And her name was Boyle.
That's Boyle. Boyle. Yes. You can't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah,
that was on America's Got Talent.
Was it
America's Got Talent?
You remember what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Susan Boyle.
What was it? Susan Boyle?
Susan Boyle.
Yeah, shout out to her. Right. What a voice. And Adele, they gave Adele some issues on her weight, right? At some point, if I recall.
You know, that's ridiculous.
And I know, it really is.
Yeah, I don't remember, and I don't judge on that by any means. I really don't. I could care less. If you sound wonderful and I like your song, I don't really care, guy, girl, what you look like. Transgender, I don't really care.
I mean, there's room for both, to be honest. If there's like, you know, like an average-looking person but has a beautiful voice, they should still have a chance to have a career like that. But there's also like entertainment, too, you know, with the beautiful one. That the flawless, of course, you know, you need both. To be honest, you need both.
And you know, that is a topic I want to cover again on another show. Because I was looking at, there is some controversy again about the price of airline seats and people that are larger not being able to fit into those seats. And it's an interesting conversation because I truly think that we will probably get botted and trolled on this one, on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that. And help me out here with your opinion, please. Jump, okay. Don't let me monopolize the conversation. Yes, some people, they do need that extra room space, but do you give it to them because they're larger, or should they pay for the extra seat? And then here's the other set half. It all right, so they don't say anything and they squeeze themselves into the seat. And listen, I'm not an overweight guy, as anybody can see from my videos. I'm a larger guy. I go to the gym. It's a tough squeeze into that seat. So somebody that's larger, so they have a right to be comfortable, the right to be respected, the right not to be discriminated against. But if what you need costs more money and takes away an extra seat, there are women that bring their newborn. And help me out here, Carrie, on this one, because you probably have more knowledge on that.
For me, am I real quick?
But they put the child on their lap. Because you're not paying for the extra seat. That's where I wanted you guys to go with that.
And I was going to say, to be honest, my opinion is, you know, they can't help that, you know, like some people have wide hips or whatever and stuff and can't. But I think they shouldn't pay for the extra seat, to be honest. I mean, I don't think that's fair.
Right.
Because to me, honestly, that feels like discrimination right there.
And that was a whole other slide down. I didn't want to go. Did you want to add something on that, Carrie?
I just think that she's right. I mean, being a large woman, you know,
I had no idea.
I mean, I've been there,
You're honestly really not really a large woman.
No, you're curvaceous.
And I'm not trying to
blow smoke up your, too, so I'm fine.
up your butt or anything, but realistically, I've seen the videos of what they're talking about with the really large people. I'm sure you fit just fine in a seat, Carrie. I'm sure you do. It might be a bit more tighter than it is for me, but.
I think the airlines could afford, you know, like having
they
free
keep seat. Making
because
they
already charge you for checking your bag. They already charge you for other things and stuff. So, like, come on, give a person a break, you know. At least they're still paying the seat the same as everybody else.
Right, but then what about the person that's sitting next to them?
Even if they pay for the extra seat, might as well put them in first class then.
Well,
if they're going to do that.
Here,
you know what I mean?
And then again, I want to go on a seahole here, and I know that Carrie's going to jump in because her mic is on, and I'm okay, and I like that. But you both are parents. Mm-hmm. You have a child.
Yeah.
People fly with their child in their lap, in the seatbelt, right?
Yeah.
So, because otherwise they'd have to pay for the seat next to them to put their child. Help me out here, Carrie. Is this not accurate? I mean,
when my oldest daughter was a baby, you know, everybody, we live in, on the West Coast, and we're from Illinois, so to go see, of course, you had to fly.
Right.
And I remember when we did this, I walked in and sat down with Heather, and the guy sitting next to me said, "Oh my God." In other words, you know, he didn't want to be next to this child. And it was funny because
oh my God, in a bad way or in a
oh, he was just like, he was just dreading every second of it.
Really?
Absolutely.
And I that is so rude, you know, but I mean,
and Heather,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And Heather, even though she wasn't quite a year, she was right in that vicinity. Mm-hmm. Kept talking to him and everything, you know. And by the time he got to the end of the flight,
I'm sure that went over well.
He said, "You know, this is probably one of the most enjoyable flights I've ever had."
Oh.
Right, and you know what? And you know what? Here's a good thing.
That.
And then we went on a whole other. We all fell into a big sea hole, but that's good because you know what, Carrie? What you said there is promising to me, in the sense that people can learn that what you see is not always what you're going to get.
Very true.
You know, and that person, that man, whoever he was, left that flight enlightened and had a whole different opinion. Now, maybe the next flight on his way home from wherever he was coming, he had that kid that's punching the back of your seat. I don't know. That reminds me of, what was it, the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he turns around with the pen and he goes, I'll break you.
Oh my God.
What movie was that?
Kindergarten Cop.
Was he on the plane? He was on a plane, right?
Yes.
He's like, "It is not the Thuman."
It is not the Thuman.
Too long here. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. Otherwise, I'm going to let you know it's not a Thuman. We'll be right back.
At the Rant Round Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Welcome back. Eric A. Sinani, right here, the Hostile Zone, iHeartRadio, accompanied by Miss Bianca C-S-C-A, like the ocean. So before we went on this short break, We fell into a sea hole on a lot of different things, but I hope our purpose here on the show is not to offend anybody. Obviously, we're here to just talk about the issues. So, when we're making a joke about the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, we're not insulting anybody. So please don't go that way. And if you are, then you're listening to the wrong show, because we have like 150 episodes. We've been out for like 2.5 years now. So you should know what to expect when you came to this channel to listen to me. So there we go.
You know what's a perfect comment? What I had in my mind is, you know, from the movie Kindergarten Cop. Remember that little kid that stood up in the middle?
And yes.
Said, I'm not going to say what he said, but look into it.
We could say it. My mommy has a vagina, right? Is that what that little kid said?
No, he just said men have a penis and girls have a vagina.
That's great. I hope my son does that one day in Catholic school. Let's see how that works out.
But the way the kid's face was when he said it, he's all cute and serious. It was so hilarious.
All right, circling us back in.
But like, I figured mentioning that because of this
thing. You got to laugh about it. Yeah, you got to laugh. Actually, that. Props to you on that one. That was good, because you really looped that in there. You actually snuck one past me.
Oh.
So anyway,
that's why I was laughing before.
No, you got me. You got me. I did not see that coming. Normally, I'm pretty good with that.
Okay.
So anyway, back to this executive order.
Yeah.
It basically is just it's forcing the agencies, federal agencies, to not distinguish between the two. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. There's either a male or a female, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's legal challenges and temporary injunctions that are going on. Lawsuits have been filed challenging the constitutionality of the executive order, arguing that it discriminates against transgender and binary individuals. Take that for what you will. I'm not going to comment on ongoing litigation. I know that an executive order signed by the president is in effect a law per se, but you have a right. That is why we have three branches of government, right? In the United States Constitution,
yeah.
It's written in the articles that you have the right for constitutional review. The judicial branch, you have your legislative branch, your executive branch, your judicial branch. Mm-hmm. Judicial branch reviews all the laws and executive things, etc., to make sure that they fall within the Constitution. It's called constitutional review.
Okay.
And the legislative branch are the people who write the law. And then the executive branch, i.e. President Trump and district attorneys and police and enforcement agencies, the IRS, all these people, they are part of the executive branch. I hate to keep giving a reminder of these things, but sometimes I feel that people just don't know, or you're tuning in for the first time and you're hearing something. So I'm not going to comment on the current cases. They are going. It did temporarily stop some of these things that are trying to happen with this executive order and other executive orders. I think we talked about it briefly the other day. I did actually on the other show talk about the federal judges who are appointed to lifetime appointments, and they have, in order to be removed, they got to be impeached, unless there's another obscure way of getting around it by having them. Have held not good conduct or whatever it's called, behavior unbecoming or whatever. But check that episode out. Go and look it up. We talked about executive orders being blocked specifically at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday by a fill-in judge. So whatever. All right, let's not go there. So the plaintiffs in these cases are contending that the order violates the constitutional protections of equal treatment and the application and due process of the Constitution. The 14th Amendment, folks, of the United States Constitution, 1-4, hopefully my backwards. If you're watching, I don't know if I'm backwards. Hey, Carrie, which way is 4? 14 this way or this way?
I guess it depends on which way you're looking at it.
No, because I'm looking at the big screen in the room here, so I can't tell if I'm showing a 1-4 or 41. Either way, the 14th Amendment, if you're in your car listening, you're like, this guy's a moron. Because we are on TV too, so I'm looking at everything reversed on the screen. But anyway, the 14th Amendment is your due process, your equal application of the law for each individual. And I think
I love that it says equal.
Equal application, yes.
Phenomenal that they say equal, because, you know, it should be. No matter what, if you're male or female, it should always be
everybody equal. Gets no matter everybody what has a right in, yeah. in the Constitution. You have your rights, and they have to be protected. So who? I'm not going to comment on these cases that are going forward in the court. Mm-hmm. Now, the HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, has issued a guidance aligning with the executive order, defining sex strictly as male or female. So they've done this already. So the executive order went through. HHS, Health and Human Services, has issued guidance aligning with this already, saying you're either male or female. Is that going to be male or female, but are you still going to be able to have a pronoun? That is going, you know, I find that to be interesting, because I think they should have
like an extra box, you know, like for notes. If you want anything else to add in, you could write but in I, there, you know you what I mean? But to be honest, they're not really going to care. It's only for the 10,000
I get turned off when I fill out any application for a government paper or anything, especially with the show or with our sponsors and advertisements and stuff. We have to communicate with other businesses and we have to fill out forms.
Mm-hmm.
I get turned off when I get asked what my pronouns are. You made a comment about my LinkedIn page because it says he, him, or whatever, right?
Yeah, I was surprised. I'm like, oh,
but I had no other choice.
He, him?
She did. She commented on that, Carrie, because she saw it. She's like, well, what is this on your link? And I'm like,
you had no choice.
I had to answer. If I, you know, and it is what it is. What am I going to do? Now, maybe with this executive order, that's all going to change, but LinkedIn is a private thing. But if the government defines there's only one or the other, you're going to get putting my lawyer hat on, you're going to get a counter lawsuit from people saying it is male or female and mm-hmm. saying otherwise discriminates against me. It's kind of like when they were talking about, when they were defining what defines a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when that was going on, Carrie? That was, under President George W. Bush, it was a conversation. It was a conversation again under Barack Obama. What defines a marriage, a man and a woman? You remember that, Kay?
Yes, I do.
Does this not feel the same thing? We are now having to actually create a definition for something that we should already actually have the definition. I mean, is that what government has to do now? It has to make definitions for what things we didn't know growing up. You have a peepee. I don't have a peepee. There you go. I mean, there's one or the other. I don't understand.
I don't get the controversy either. And, I'm not discriminating against anybody because...
Yeah, I don't care. You hear it all the time on my show. Nobody belongs in your bedroom.
Right,
government needs to stay out of my bedroom, your bedroom, everybody's bedroom. Stay out of your life. But, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Carrie. Because I did want to support these people and say I'm not against you. I'm against the government forcing things on everybody. But you have an individual right. You have it, and you also deserve equal application of the law. I'm sorry, Carrie, go on.
And I also think that none of that belongs in schools.
Right.
I agree completely.
100%.
I totally agree.
Right. But yeah, no.
I think it's the parents' job to talk about that stuff to your child.
Right.
At a certain age, not too young, you know.
Do you need to even have that conversation?
Nowadays, you have to.
You think so? I mean, mm-hmm.
because you know, I mean, you never know what your
like
the kids' friends
yeah, what they find.
Is different.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you have to explain to them in a certain.
We were looking at a magazine recently,
mm-hmm.
and it was we were looking at some sponsorship magazines. I wanted to show you the picture, Carrie. It was a school,
mm-hmm.
and the school had pictures of how wonderful the school was
mm-hmm.
for kids. Nursery, I think it was a nursery school.
It
was a Montessori nursery school, and they had a picture of a little boy dressed in women's. He had barrettes and makeup and looked like a girl. Remember that?
Yeah, he had like a. I think so. I don't remember what it was.
Now obviously, we would never show the image, even though it was in a public flyer.
But I mean, it's like I said. It's they're just letting the children be who they are, and maybe it was pretend or something, but.
Right.
You know, like
I don't think it was the best picture, your best forward-facing picture to advertise. I don't think if you go to school, the school has a right to tell your child it's okay to be a girl or be a boy. That's your prerogative as a parent. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, that is an inalienable right given to you by God, by your creator, whatever you believe your creator. Mm-hmm. And our Constitution, the 14th Amendment, equal application of the law. Mm-hmm. So as a parent, I have rights. As a parent, you have rights. Everybody has rights as a parent. Children have rights. But the school doesn't have a right to indoctrinate my child or someone else's child or whoever's child into something that is not what is not in the basic curriculum, your reading, writing, arithmetic, your social stuff. At what, you know, what point is it appropriate? There are things that need to happen between the parent and their child.
Yes, I agree completely.
What say you, Carrie?
With the poor state of education these days, where you have so many illiterate children, why don't you teach them how to read and write and do arithmetic and
that should be priority.
Other stuff?
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. Very good point. Because they come out, they can't read. They're reading on a fifth grade level. I know, I remember in school, they told us that the New York Times was written in second grade reading level. Do you remember hearing that, Carrie?
No, but that's interesting.
Yeah, I because we, and again, in during my Catholic school years, we had to get a subscription. They gave us a subscription to New York Times. I think it was fourth or fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And they made us read it every day. It came free. Well, it became part of the school, whatever. But everybody got their own. And everybody had a section or a thing that you were interested in. You had to read and talk about it. And people like, it's written on a second grade level. So because people are like, I can't read this, you know, even in fifth grade fighting back. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's written on a second grade level because it makes it flow better and easier to read, I get that. I support that. Mm-hmm. But if we are writing our media, again, and this is legacy media, because who even gets these things, even digitally? Nobody reads New York Times, because they were one of the ones that were receiving some money through USAID. Mm-hmm. Or if I don't bot me and show me, I know Politico was. I think New York Times was mentioned in some aspect of that. So nobody, they're really legacy, but they said it was written on a second grade level. If that's the case, are we recognizing that our education systems are focusing on things that are not so important? And things that are not going to take Americans, people here in our country, to keep us in line with other countries, to continue to compete with China and Iran and Russia, North Korea and whatever, to ensure that we are the steadfast PowerPoint. We are the best. Now, you know, of course, everybody thinks their country is the best, but we should be ensuring that our children, our American children, and it doesn't matter what race you are, what you are. If you are here in the United States legally and your family is taxpaying people and you're going to school, you're an American. Mm-hmm. And you deserve that ability to compete as an American at the highest possible level, because that is the responsibility of the government to educate your child. That I see hold that too long. What say you?
I agree completely. You should educate your child.
I agree. Carrie, what do you think?
I think it's up to the parents to make sure that their kids know what it is that they want to and the values of that.
The values, exactly. Absolutely. Exactly.
That's a good key word, values.
And again, that's where I bring up my parochial school, Catholic school. And it doesn't have to be Catholic for everybody. Parochial, it could be a Christian-based school. Or a yeshiva, which is a Jewish school or whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. I'm putting Catholic in your face. That was my experience. But those schools that are based on a religion have a philosophy that you know you're going to get. You know they're going to deliver to your child. Mm-hmm. They are not going to deliver any woke, if you want to call it woke, any DEI stuff. They're going to give you the basic crux of what you need socially and educationally.
Right.
So for those out there, when I say my Catholic school experience, that's because I went to Catholic school. We had a couple students in my school that were actually not Catholic. They were actually they believed in Christ and they were Christian or whatever. But I remembered there was a few that weren't, but they attended because of the structure, the structured education, and the distance with Catholic school being separated from the government, separation of church and state. So we are like, as in a Catholic school, our school days were not the same as public school.
Right.
We had different snow days. We had different holidays. We had different things.
You guys had better at.
We had a lot of great things. We got off a lot of holidays other people didn't get.
Yeah.
But we also had to do things that the public school didn't have to do. I had to go to church every morning. I was an altar boy, which was voluntary. They didn't force that. But I got up extra early, and I did that on a daily basis. I got up at 7:30, 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning at like 8 years old. That's dedication. But it instilled values in me. And I think that that is what's most important here. I'm not running around with the Bible. My Bible really is this book, the Constitution, right here. Not to say my religious people out there, my pious people, word of the day, that I'm saying religion's a bad thing. I think it's a great thing. I think we need more of it because I think it gives you in the cartoon where you have the devil on one shoulder
and the angel
on the other side. Remember that in the cartoons, Karen?
Yeah, that's funny.
Right? You know,
right or what's
wrong? And that just hit me now. It's not even in my notes, but it hit me now because that was like really good programming as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and recently.
Well, it taught me to do the right thing and conscience of what's
and
wrong.
It really speaks
like common sense, it tells you.
Because your brain, like you're saying, it's the right thing. Your brain does see. You don't literally see a devil and an angel.
If you have that gut feeling that you're doing something wrong, that's because you are doing something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the devil in your everyday life. You went out with your boys, you know, you're down Jersey Shore, fist pumping, and whatever, and you're going to get in the car and drive. The devil on the shoulder is saying, yeah, you're good to go. Just, you know, drive the speed limit, follow the lines. And then the angel on the other side is saying, no, don't do it. So that is.
You should call an Uber.
Call an Uber. Or tipsy toe, you call AAA and I'm towing the car back for you. But no,
call your sober friend to pick you up.
Yeah, do anything. But that's my point. That is the paradox that's going on in your head. And I think when the schools are focusing on so much other things, you're not getting that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I was going with that. But anyway, hospitals and clinics are facing legal and ethical dilemmas over this, trying to balance the federal directives with the medical standard of care and patient rights.
Oh,
HIPAA. You know, the privacy. When you go into the hospital, there is now in every hospital room a patient bill of rights, kind of like we have in the Constitution that I'm holding up again in the U.S. Constitution.
It has to be visible every room, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The Bill of Rights is our first 10 amendments in the United States Constitution. And they have a patient bill of rights. So those organizations are struggling a little bit with balancing the federal executive order from the president and the government's lockdown on that there are two genders and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And now these people who have taken a Hippocratic oath, which is a do no further harm, do no harm, do no further harm. In the military, do no harm. But there's a double saying, do no harm, meaning K-N-O-W, meaning I do know what harm looks like. And then the second half of the logo says, do no harm, N-O, do no harm.
Okay.
So I know harm, because in the military sense of military combat medicine, I know harm, I do no harm, but I also will not do harm. So anyway, I fell off on a seagull there.
It was good.
Yeah, because the Hippocratic Oath is a different oath then you take in the general military in all these government officers where you solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution and support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic,
mm-hmm.
and bear faith and allegiance to the same, obey all the officers appointed above me, blah, 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 blah. That's a different oath. So it's a balancing juggle act between medical professionals and what they feel that they have an ethical duty and a Hippocratic Oath standard to follow. So it is interesting. Here's another interesting, and jump in and let me know here what your thoughts are, Gary. Again, how much money does this cost at the end of the day when we keep switching one thing to the next, like an off cycle here, and then I want your Kerry's thought. Mm-hmm. They changed the name for Fort Bragg again, back from Fort. It was Fort Bragg in North Carolina, mm-hmm. to Fort Liberty, and then it's now been designated Fort Bragg again. I think it should have always stayed Fort Bragg.
So
I don't think we need to change the name. They did get very creative. Instead of using a Confederate general, there actually is a World War II hero, I think World War II, mm-hmm. hero with the same name. So they're allegedly, they put it back underneath recognizing him. But it is going back to the original name. My point is, and Kerry, help me out here. This is expensive to the taxpayer. Every time we make changes like this, we're creating new forms. And the whole point of bringing up Fort Bragg and Liberty, and then I'm going to let somebody speak here because I'm monopolizing.
But it confuses everybody.
You're changing the sign. You're ripping down infrastructure and creating new infrastructure. We have to pay for that as a taxpayer. What say you, Kerry?
And then all these years with the paperwork and everything. And you got to change like, how many years? And then
you got to update pay. That's what I'm saying. All this has to be changed. Do you feel what I'm saying, Kerry?
Yeah. Sorry, Kerry.
I understand, and I think it's pitiful the way you have to put up with that kind of stuff.
Right. And I just say to myself, like, at what point is enough is enough?
I'm glad that they changed it back. To be
no, I am too. I am too. But I don't disrespect anybody. I don't ever. No, I don't. No. I mean, I've never, ever, ever. And actually, you've been out. I stand up for people. I do. I stand up for people no matter what. So, and there are plenty of people that can say, hey, this guy was here for me. And some of these people did fall under allegedly DEI areas without getting into specificity of people I've stood up for. But I have, because I think it's inappropriate as a human being. Again, going back to my Catholic school days, have some compassion.
Yeah, you would literally take your shirt off for another person.
I went shopping for homeless people, and I bought entire clothes, people in a hotel room, out of my pocket. I've never advertised that. I don't make a YouTube thing out of it to get notoriety, but I've done that, and you know this for a fact, and I know Kerry knows that I do that.
Oh, yeah, you and do I'm not that bragging. Out of the kindness of your heart to
That's
help
what I'm
the
saying.
Other
and I'm not bragging. I'm saying that compassion is key. We don't need to regulate that. We don't need to regulate it. Who was Denzel Washington back in 2016, right, when Barack Obama's administration was ending and President Trump was president-elect? Denzel Washington did an interview where he said, you can't legislate. You can't write law to make me love you. You can't make somebody want to like you. You have to be willing to engage and discuss with that person. Government can't force that on you. And I think every time we make changes like this, the government is forcing you. And then I think we are going in reverse. Help me out, Kerry. Sometimes we're going in reverse. I feel like we're going back to race riots, and we're going back to segregating people. You know, this is pre my time, but your time. Am I right with that, Kerry? I mean, I feel
you know-
like... We're putting more in your face what you don't need to know. You should be a human being of respect. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. You know, the discrimination that's going on these days is completely off the charts.
Right.
You know, I went to Memphis for my birthday. It was a birthday present 1 year. And we went to the Martin Luther King Museum there.
Yeah, I've never been. Really?
Which is in the hotel where he was shot.
Really? Interesting.
And
I hope they release those files on everything about him, on his death. But I didn't want to cut you off on that. Go ahead.
That was the most uncomfortable place I have ever been in my life.
Really? Why?
Just the atmosphere there, it just felt wrong. I mean, it was, I don't even know how to explain it.
I actually, if you without me jumping on you, and I'm going to go right back to you, I think I know what you're talking about. I was in Charleston, South Carolina, and they have an original slave market there, and it's become a museum. And it was very uncomfortable to be in there. They had original shackles and things like this. And it was an actual slave mart. Like you went down to buy a slave. It was incredible to see that.
Oh, the slave quarters?
Yeah.
The
I forgot what it's called, but it's in it is the one of the last one. It was like the big one. Is that what you're talking about, Carrie? Like uncomfortable to see that?
It was just the feeling. I mean, it's like you just walked in there and I mean, I've never felt energy like that before.
Oh,
it was
just
right.
You're talking about the weight. You could feel the sorrow. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, it was.
I'm with you.
I couldn't believe it.
No, I'm with you. I totally feel you on that one. And you're 100% right. And that is what I was trying to say, but I didn't say it the way you helped me say it. You helped me articulate it better. You could feel the tension. You could feel the dismay and the sadness in that building just by the pictures of the things that you saw. Even when I go, being DC, I love DC, obviously. I go to Ford's Theater a lot. And they have a museum across the street and in Ford's Theater. And they have some pictures of some slave pictures that are just heartbreaking of the damage and the scars on their bodies. Have you been to Ford's Theater, Karen?
No, I haven't.
I know you have because we shot and done things there.
Mm-hmm.
I got my handy book
it's
here.
It's a good
thank
place
you,
to
thank
go
you, Ford's
to
Theater.
If you ever get a chance to visit. It's very historical. Like, I feel the history on that block, actually, because, you know.
They got the Abraham Lincoln pillow that he bled in. Again, another right behind me, if you're watching, this is an actual handwritten letter from President Abraham Lincoln. Even on the top, it says the Executive Mansion. And it was, let me see the date. I've never read it off. Mm-hmm. It is.
That's his pride and joy.
October 17th, 1861, the Executive Mansion, aka the White House. Anyway, I'm right. I'm going off on CEO.
Either way, I feel like everybody, like, it's a new century now. Like, it's a new decade and a
new century.
And now everything. It's
millennial.
Like everybody should always be treated equal, no matter what. And
right.
That's all it is. You know, no matter what.
Again, the 14th Amendment, equal application.
No matter what your sex is, no matter what your race is, everybody should be paid equal of opportunity of what your job is. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Like if you're female, you shouldn't be getting paid less than what a man is getting.
Right.
Paid
the same
right.
Job, right.
You know?
And I think that's,
it is what it is.
You, again, you must be able to fulfill all of the requirements of the position.
Right. You should have the skill. You shouldn't be like I said, equal opportunity. If you're female, it doesn't mean that they should like, just because you're female will make exceptions or something like that.
Well,
either
the
you standards do the job, or that's it.
The standards are different.
You know?
You know, in the military, there was females do this many push-ups if you're in this age group, and men do this many push-ups in that same age group, and they're different numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Completing the 3-mile run and all that stuff, they are different.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that's open for discussion on how you feel what equal is. I mean, obviously, there are women that compete at better than men because they're in better shape.
Yeah.
So there always is that person. But we need to legislate that as a rule. That really is what I concern, that we are over legislating. And I feel that they must legislate at this point because there are so many ridiculous things that people are putting out there that the government has to put it in writing and say, no, we're no longer going to accept this. This is the way it should be. What say you, Carrie?
I agree. Like I said, you know, you just go back to the golden rule. You treat somebody the way you want to be treated.
Exactly.
And if you think of that, then, you know.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, right? And names will never hurt me. These are stupid little things I got in Catholic school. And
it's funny. I never thought about it until just a few minutes ago, but.
Oh, good. I made you think.
My kids went to Catholic school. Kindergarten to 8th grade.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, because of circumstances and that kind of stuff, they both went to public school. They went to, you know, different public high schools. But both of them said, you know, we never learned anything after we got out of St. Daniel's.
I'm
wow.
with you. The best education I got was St. Joseph's in Pagoda, New Jersey. Sister Regina Miriam, they were great, these people. Yeah, they were really tough on me, but I got a solid foundation of things that I know today. I could repeat things that I remember from second grade that I learned now that most people can't tell you what they learned in their last college class. Mm-hmm. So I get what you're saying. And they both said the same thing. The foundation was there.
Yeah, they knew. They never learned anything that they didn't already know.
Exactly. They were way ahead.
They were just attending the school as a...
Yeah, so it was like a wasted 4 years for both
of them. And that's exactly what happened with me in high school.
So that short period of time in Catholic school, the education, it took 4 years for all of it to just equal to that.
There was
time.
Nothing. Yeah. Wow. It's funny. All this time, you never told me that, because that is very true, Carrie, that I did Catholic school and then I did well there. I mean, I got in a little bit of trouble, but you know, even my mom will say I did well. I learned, I got stuff done. And I went on I went to a public high school mm-hmm. for a couple of years, and I did nothing. I never took a book home. I didn't show up to class. Nobody really cared. I was suspended 105 days 1 year. 105 days out of 180-day school year. I mean, seriously? But I did nothing. And then, you know, then I went military. And in my first semester in college, everything that I needed to know, I got that first semester. And then I was a 3.8, 4.0 student all the way through. So the foundation's there. And I think maybe this executive orders like this and the government saying, let's stick to your swim lane, as I like to say, stick to your driving lane. Let's do the necessary basic things that you need to know as a human being to survive, as an American to survive. I like it. Take a short break. We're going to come right back out and close out. We're coming to hard close. Don't go anywhere. Eric A. Sinani, The Hostile Zone.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today, acorns.com/share, or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen, or enter my referral code 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC, and get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sinani, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back, Eric A. Sinani, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio and your favorite podcast platform, accompanied by my co-host, Miss Bianca C-S-E-A. Thank you for the sticking around for the short message. So we're coming to a hard close here, but I'm going to want to try to, we opened up and talked about it. I want to just kind of bring this to a close. We could go on forever, but it's a radio show, and we have to get it packed into our 1 hour time slot.
There you go.
So Executive Order 14168 brings to the forefront a complex debate over the definition of gender within federal policy. It does not define what you, me, and your neighbor and your friend define in your sexuality and what you as an individual define yourself. Mm-hmm. What you as an individual define yourself is not what this policy is talking about. And I want to make sure on closing of this show that you know that we are not judging anybody for individual choices and for, you know, who you want to love and what. We're just talking about the federal government and the tax process and what is the legal process and what they're going to have for legality purposes. This does not minimize you as a person that belongs to a community. And I want to make sure you understood that clearly from me. And I know that you're on, all three of us are on the same page with that. Are you with me on that, Carrie?
Absolutely.
Right, Bianca, right?
Yeah.
I want to make sure we got that out there, folks, that we're not talking about, we're talking about government policy. So while proponents may argue the return of traditional classifications You know, and then there's opponents that highlight the potential erosion of rights for transgender and non-binary individuals. I hope that we're not taking away the rights, because the government does not belong in your bedroom or anybody's bedroom. They don't. But when we're talking about government funding applications, job applications, and documents, and things of that nature, passports, driver's licenses, et cetera, there has to be legislation and guidance so everybody is on the same page. The 14th Amendment, equal application of the law. Bottom line, so navigating this issue requires a nuanced approach that respects both the need for policy and clarity and the diverse realities of the human identity. And this outcome of this debate will have profound implications on civil rights and how inclusive our society as a whole is. Did I wrap that up nice?
Yes, you did.
All right. So anything you want to add to that, Ms. Bianca?
I just wanted to add, no matter what race and what gender you are, I feel everybody has an equal opportunity. And right. That's it.
So Sonati's call to action, 180 forward, 180 backwards. That's 360 times 365, 365 days a week. Your head must be on a swivel, paying attention to what's in front of you and what's behind you 365 days a year, because your life and safety and your family's life and safety and your liberties and the very fabric of our nation are at risk every day, 24 hours a day. So you need to stay vigilant and stay informed. I am, if you want to leave a comment or send an email, feel free to let us know, eric@thehostilezone.com or thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com. Where do you stand on gender identity and federal policy? Again, I thank you very much, folks, for coming out to The Hostile Zone, yet another wonderful episode. Without you, we wouldn't be here. We love you. We thank you. We are fighting strong. Now we're going to close it with this historical quote. Equality before the law is not a matter of charity, but a fundamental right. Equality before the law is not a matter of charity, but a fundamental right. Again, like we said, equal application of the law, inalienable rights that are provided to you by your creator. So with that, funny joke of the day. Look at the screen here.
I'm not.
Right to Miss Bianca. Why did the Scarecrow win an award?
I don't know why.
Because he was outstanding in his field, just like our viewers who stay outstanding and continue with us every day. We love you. Thank you very much. God bless America. Come back and catch me on Eric A. Sonati Unplugged. Don't go anywhere. Check us out on every single social media platform and podcast platform. Again, Eric A. Sonati, Bianca C. Signing out. God bless America. See you next time.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, get through the night, that a flag was still there.
And she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner